story's flow and rhythm. To my awesome proofreader, Josiah, thanks for catching the pesky errors that blend into the forest of my words. To my designer, Monica, I love how you encompass the darkness and magic of A Pack of Blood and Lies into a single image. It's everything I wanted and more. To my publisher, may you soar. To my children and husband, I love you guys to the furthest reaches of the universe and back. You inspire me each day. To my parents, I would be nothing without you, literally. Thanks for making me and for loving me, even when I'm not all that lovable. Last but not least, to you, dearest reader, thank you for coming along on this lupine adventure. I hope you've enjoyed Ness's tale and will read on. I have so much more in store for her in the next installment. Be sure to visit oliviawildenstein.com and sign up for my newsletter to stay up to date on all the happenings.
Prologue. The astringent tang of ammonia and glass cleaner stung my nose, but I powered through the smell, rubbing the glass table until it reflected the modern high-rise across the street. 6 years ago, I could barely be in the same room as a spritz of Windex, but distance had dimmed my acute sense of smell. Stretching my stiff neck from side to side, I moved away from the table to pack the cleaning supplies and roll them out of the conference room. "Evelyn, I'm done!" When I spotted a dyed black mane, I released my cart and draped my forearms over the top of the cubicle's laminated wood siding. "Want help out here?"
"No, I'm done too, querida."
The bright silk scarf knotted around Evelyn's hair tonight made my throat constrict. Mom had owned few things of value. Her wedding band embedded with diamond chips that I wore on a leather cord around my neck, and the designer scarf Evelyn never parted with since Mom had gifted it to her. I was by no means jealous that Evelyn had gotten it. If anyone deserved such a beautiful present, it was the woman who'd taken care of us since our arrival in Los Angeles 6 years ago. Our neighborhood was, to put it nicely, rough, which meant I was to open the door to no one. When Evelyn knocked 2 days after we had moved in, I stared at her through the peephole and told her to go away. She did, but then she returned. The next time she came, she slipped me a folded piece of stationery on which she'd scribbled her name and unit number. When Mom got home from a job interview and saw the paper I'd left out on our dining table, she shot up the stairs like a bullet, racing past the poorly rendered violet boob graffiti that graced the concrete stairwell, and then pounded on Evelyn's door to demand what interest she had in an 11-year-old girl. Turned out, Evelyn just wanted to help. Mom had flown back down, a blur of red cheeks and crazed eyes, yelling that we didn't need anyone's charity, that we were fine. We weren't fine. Thankfully, Evelyn remained persistent and returned again, placating my mother with dishes suited for a crowd and clothing that had been gathering dust in the back of her closet. Naively, I'd determined Evelyn was a hoarder, with terrible math skills. Evelyn unplugged the vacuum, then limped back to it and towed the knob that wound up the cord. It coiled into the belly of the apparatus as quick as a prairie rattlesnake. Before she could bend over, I grabbed the handle and heaved it onto her cart. Together, we walked our carts back to the janitorial closet, Evelyn gritting her teeth the entire way. Although she never complained, her right shoulder had been bothering her for some time now. Coupled with her constant limp caused by the stray bullet that had hit her calf 2 decades ago, Evelyn had slowed down considerably.
"I made your favorite tacos, but do not feel obliged to eat with me, querida, if you have a date."
"Nope, no date." I hadn't gone on one since Mom passed away. At first, I stayed away from boys because depression was eating me whole. But then paying rent and bills overtook my life, and I picked up as many hours of cleaning jobs as I could find. Some days, the commuting wore me down more than the actual workload and chemical odors. I found no solace in rolling on buses through gray city blocks, leaning away from passengers who'd smelled like the lunch they'd put away hours before, or the perspiration they'd accrued during the day. Tonight, at least, Evelyn sat next to me, large knuckled fingers clasped in her lap, chin dipped into her neck, lids closed in rest. A couple seconds before we reached our bus stop, I gently rubbed her forearm and murmured, "We're home." She startled awake. Hooking her arm through mine for support, we got off the bus. The deep blue streets were not especially busy at this hour. The regulars were out, though. The army